Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
This is where God has me, but I believe it's a we word, not a me word. So we're going to jump into it. Where are all my worshipers at? Just, you love to worship Jesus. John chapter 4, verse 23 and 24, and I'm reading it out of the New International Version. It says this: "Yet a time is coming and has now come when true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshiper the Father seeks." That's an interesting statement that we'll break down probably next week. For the Father is seeking those kind of worship. Just turn to your neighbor and ask him, are you that kind? There must be a difference. Are you that kind? Verse 24, God is spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the spirit and in truth. I want to start a series today called Wired for Worship. Wired for Worship. Turn to your neighbor and tell them, I'm wired for worship. And ask them, are you? You may be seated. Praise makes you feel good. Worship makes you feel God. When this team was up here and all the lyrics were done and they were just singing Jesus, if you could look through spiritual eyes and not through physical eyes, it was like the back of this room opened and the King of Glory just came strolling in. When you worship, it does something to God and to you. It beckons God to show up and to move and to stay and to inhabit and to abide. We were created to worship. If you're taking notes, write that down. We were created to worship. This is what Isaiah chapter 43, verse 21 says, "The people I formed for myself, that they may proclaim my praise." Praise and worship somehow have always been synonymously lumped together, that praise is worship and worship is praise. But praise is thanking God for what he's done, what he's doing, or what he will do. But worship is simply thanking God for who he is. That I have found no other God like Jehovah God. The old timers would say, can't nobody do me like Jesus, meaning this: I've tried other things. I've tried other bodies. I've tried other gods. I've tried other substances. And after I tried all the rest, I've now settled on the best. Can't nobody do me like Jesus. So if we praise God for what he's done and we worship God for who he is, your praise, you can praise God without ever worshiping him. That's why you see straight up heathens thank Jesus when they win the lottery. That's why you'll hear people in excitement say, thank you, Jesus. Now, they ain't been to church in 6 years, but they're thanking him for what he's done. So thanksgiving, praise, you don't ever have to have worship in it to be praised. But worship will include praise. Because a lot of times I'm saying, God, in the middle of my worship, I'm so grateful for who you are. There is no one like you. No one can compare. It is you that saved me. That's praise. It is you that restored me. That's praise. But that praise is speaking to the identity and the deity of who he is. That, God, I'm thanking you, praising you for saving me, but I'm worshiping you because I realize you're the only one that can save me. Come on, church. I'm praising you in the middle of my worship for healing me, but I've had the revelation there is only one great physician, and he is Jesus. So just because you praise doesn't mean you worship. But when you worship, there's praise mixed in. And so Isaiah would say in verse 21 that we were formed for God, that we might proclaim his praise. So we are created to worship. Write this down. We are wired for worship. I went back and forth whether to share this story with you, and I'm going to share it anyway. Forgive me if it's a little too much for you. When Tyler was about 5 years old, we were at a friend's house watching UFC. Any UFC fans? There's about six of us, okay. Ultimate Fighting Championship, it's the largest MMA league in the world. Tyler was about 5 years old, and he's sitting there on his iPad. Or you know, come on, parents, especially fathers, you know what it is when you're trying to concentrate on the fight and you need something to keep your five-year-old busy. And so I hand him my phone, or he's on his tablet or whatever, and he's playing, and I'm watching round one. And after round one, a scantily clad woman comes out holding a number two. She marches around the octagon telling everybody, hey, round two's coming. Didn't need that kind of heads up, but appreciate you letting us know that round two's coming. So she goes back, gets out of the octagon, round two happens. I didn't know that Tyler had seen ring woman carrying number two. But Tyler nudged me during the third round. He said, hey, Dad, when's that girl coming back out? Dad, epic fail. Son, you need to go stay with your mom from now on when we watch UFC. And so Tyler says that. One of my heathen buddies is sitting on the other side of him, and he looks at me and he goes, well, at least you know your boy's wired right. What he was saying is he's thinking along the lines that he was created to think. I say that to bring us to this point. You and I, as a creative body that God made in his image, are created to worship. It is not an option. It is a command. We are created to worship, and our worship is so needed, and our worship is so expected that in the verse that we read at the very beginning in John chapter 4, the Bible literally says that God the Father is actively seeking for worshipers. If we are created to worship, and there's 8 billion of us on this earth, and there's 2 billion that say they're Christians, and out of those 2 billion, I don't know how many are actually worshipers, I am sure that God is wondering, where are all the worshipers at? They say they know me. They say they follow me. They say they love me. They call themselves a disciple, but there is no worship. If you know me, you're going to, oh, come on now. If you really know the God that I know, you're going to worship. If you really know the God that we know, you're going to worship. It's not going to be, I don't feel like worshiping today. Why? Because I've been exposed to a God that is unlike any other. I've come into contact with a God that has transformed my life. And so worship is never an option. Do I worship or do I not worship? To worship or not to worship, that is not a question. If you call yourself a believer, what you're saying is I've had a revelation of who Jesus is. And if you've had that revelation, you don't get to choose. You're a worshiper. You're wired to worship. Turn to your neighbor and tell them you're wired to worship. Never mistake your profession for your purpose. Never mistake your profession for your purpose. God didn't create you to be a salesman or saleswoman. He created you to worship. God did not create you to work an endless 9-to-5. He created you to worship.
God did not create you to go to 13 years of mundane school from 8 a.m. to 4 p.m. and then go to a university and then get that 40-hour-a-week job, and you're going to work for someone else's dream for 65 years, and then you're going to retire and wait for the government to send you your Social Security check, and then we're going to have a funeral, and your obituary is going to read. They like to bake cookies. They worked at the same job for 30 years. This is how many kids they had. This is who they are survived by. I want my obituary to say he was a worshiper. Man, when that guy got in, the presence of the Lord showed up. Man, he was a worshiper, and he led his generation. Never mistake your profession for your purpose, meaning this: realize what you were created to do and do it every day. Realize that we are worshipers. Realize that God has brought us from a very long way. Realize that he is a good God when the world is not good. Realize he is a faithful God when people are not faithful. Do not judge God like you judge man. Do not think God, he is not a man that he should lie. What he has said, he shall perform. That means the earth can shake and the earth can quake. People can come at me. People can come against me. Everybody can celebrate me. None of that matters. Why? Because God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If I'm in the valley, I'm still worshiping because God has not changed. If I'm on the mountaintop, I'm still worshiping because God has not changed. If my man's in the White House, I'm worshiping because I'm not worshiping him, I'm worshiping him. If my man's not in the White House, I'm worshiping because God never changes and he's worthy of all praise. 7 minutes ago, I asked, where are all the worshipers at? Only half of you raised your hand. I'm talking to the other half. Do you not know who God is? Why did you come to a Christian church today? I hope you didn't come for a show because I'm not that good of a speaker. I hope you didn't come to be entertained because I'm not that funny. I am not the main person. I am not the VIP. The VIP showed up at 11:01 when the first chord was struck on the keyboard or the guitar. The first moment that people started singing hallelujahs and Jesus, the God of the universe showed up. I can't worship for you. They can't worship for you. You might be in a house of worship, but until you open up your mouth, lift your hands to God and say, God, I worship you. Worship is an expression from an individual. I will worship. I'm wired for worship, so I will worship. When we realize that our profession is not our purpose, and I'm not bashing profession because you can find purpose in your profession, and you can worship while you work. Come on. You can serve while you work. But check this out. Anytime that you are just profession with no purpose, you are now operating in a way for something you were never created to do. Just this past couple weeks ago, Bishop sold one of his ranches, and so we were on there moving, and Rexy and I made a terrible decision. We loaded up all the tools and moved them first. And we're on a ranch with all this fence, all of these troughs, all of these things we have to move. We don't have a hammer. We don't have wrenches. We don't have a sled. We don't have anything. And we needed one thing that we needed a sledgehammer for. We couldn't find anything. And so Bishop finally says, here's a pipe. And so we're going all the way back to caveman days. Don't have a sledge, don't have a hammer. I'm out there, your boy, with a pipe, and I'm just beating on that thing. Check this out. That's not what the pipe was made for. So then later on in the week, guess what I needed? A pipe. Guess what wasn't in any condition to help me anymore? The pipe. Because I used it for something it was not created to be used for. And when I used it for something it was not created to be used for, it became nothing, and it was not able to do what it was created to do. Can I encourage you, if you have a profession but you don't have purpose, you are now doing something you were not created to do, and you are going to wear yourself out, you're going to stress yourself out, you're going to frustrate yourself to no end. Why? Because you're doing something you weren't created to do. And then when you get the epiphany of why I was created, now you're not going to be in a place to worship because you're so frustrated that you've been doing something you were never meant to do. That's why if my choices are worry or worship, I'm going to choose worry. I'm going to choose worship. Why? Because I wasn't created to worry. I was created to worship. If my choices, church, are pity party or praise party, I'm choosing praise party. Because that's why I and you were created. I'm not good at pity and worry because that's not what I was created to do. And so when I do those things, I'm not an expert at it. I'm no good. And it takes me away from being able to worship because, contrary to public opinion, you cannot worry and worship at the same time. You cannot be faithful and fearful at the same time. You cannot be praise and pity at the same time. You can't have anxiety and faith at the same time. And so I want to encourage you, worship God, anxiety is going to melt away. Praise God, fear is going to leave. When you worship, and you're wired to do it, when you do it, everything in your life starts falling into place. And you find out that as I worshiped, the weights fell off. As I worshiped, mistakes are now in the rear view mirror. What you do and who you are two entirely different things. This is why worship is important. Your worship is eternal. It's going to get real quiet now. If you don't like to worship here, you're going to hate there. If you don't worship here, I don't know if you're going to make it there. Because why would God drag you kicking and screaming to an eternity where all we're going to be do is saying, man, look at God. You are awesome. You are amazing. You built this place for me. You are a craftsman among craftsmen. Streets of gold, gates of pearl. There is nobody like Elon Musk, who? I don't even remember who that is. He's got $1 billion is nothing. I'm living in a mansion with walls of jasper, with walls of sapphire. Can I encourage you? Your worship is eternal. What does that mean? If worship is eternal, baby, you better learn what it means to be a worshiper, not just on Sundays, but on Tuesdays, on Saturdays, on Sunday night. Worship God with everything that you are. Revelation 7, verse 9. After this, I looked up, and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people, and language, standing before the throne and before the Lamb, capital L, that's Jesus. They were wearing white robes. You know what I love about this that talks about wearing white robes? I know I'm going to be in my perfected body, and I won't mind wearing white. Us big boys wear dark clothes all the time. That's why you've never seen a white Living Way shirt, because I'm creating them. And they're wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hand, and they cried out in a loud voice, "Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb." And all the angels were standing around the throne and around the elders and the four living creatures. They fell down on their face before the throne and worshiped God. This is prophetic revelation. Amen. Praise and glory and wisdom and thanks and honor and power and strength be to our God forever and ever. Amen. Oh, I can't wait for your boy to be in a white robe with a palm branch in my hand saying, God, I'm not new to this worship thing. I worship through the storm. I worship through the pain. I worship on the good days. But God, I am a worshiper. And now that I'm in heaven, there's no more tears. There's no more wars. There's no more sickness. God, I'm ready to worship you in spirit and in truth forever. And ever. Amen. Here's another good thing about your worship. Your worship's going to sound just as good as Angela Richardson and Jaden and Olivia. Your worship's going to sound just like the greatest singer that has ever lived, except better. Why? All the impurities, all the physical ailments, all of those things are gone. We're all going to be singing one voice, one heart, one spirit, worship. Worshiping not to come out of worship thinking about our job. Worshiping forever not to come out of it thinking about the doctor's report. Worshiping forever because that's all we have to do. A young man asked me, he said, Pastor, what's heaven going to be like? I said, it's awesome. I said, this is what I know. There's no wars. There's no crying. We won't have any memory of anything bad that happened on this earth. We won't think about hell. We won't think about all the people that went to hell. None of that. We will be in the presence of God. The presence of God so strong, unlike anything we've ever had. You think of the most spiritual moment on this earth, times it by a trillion, and that will be a drop in the bucket to what we experience. He said, well, I'm still going to want to go to the movies. No, you're not. I'm still going to want to play basketball. No, you're not. When we get to that place, so I can't play basketball. You can't play basketball. Every shot goes in. There's no losers. I mean, you're just out there. Why do that when there's a throne with the God of all creation? God, let me just worship you. You say, what about all the time? No, no. You spend your time working a job you don't like to make money you can't keep. For a person that you can't stand. To give 20% to a government that you don't like. There's nothing left to do but worship. You say, I don't know if I want to go there. Well, let me tell you about the other option. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The fire is so hot that it will burn the flesh from your body. And some of you are thinking, well, that's going to be an excruciating 5 minutes only to have that flesh regenerate again and you go through the same pain and the same discomfort forever and ever. Amen. It's called the lake of fire. See, what's the worst part about hell? Is it the flames? Is it the fire? Is it the molten lava? Is it the presence of Satan? None of those things are the worst. It's the only place on the face of the earth that is void of the presence of God. Heaven is awesome because he's there. Hell is terrible because he's not. You say, this world is terrible, and you think of how much God this world has. And it's still crazy. But I don't want to talk about hell because I ain't going. My reservation was canceled. Party for one, not showing up. I switched my allegiance to Jesus Christ 22 years ago. I've worshiped him for 22 years. I've worshiped him through cancer diagnosis. I've worshiped him through cancer diagnosis. I've worshiped him through pain. I've worshiped him through gossip. I've worshiped him through personal attack. I've worshiped him when times I didn't think I was worthy. I worshiped him when people walked in. I worshiped when people walked out. I worshiped when people ran their mouth. I worshiped when people celebrated. The fact is, for 22 years, I've been worshiping. For another 70 years on this earth, I'm going to worship. But for eternity, I'm going to worship. It's what we were wired and created to do. As a believer, you are a worshiper before you're anything else. Man of God, you're a worshiper before you're a husband. Rewind 5 minutes. Husband is something you do. Worship is something you are. You can't be a good husband unless you're a good worshiper. You say, prove that. Because a good worshiper will keep the presence of God. all around him and all around them. See, a worshiper creates an atmosphere in their marriage and in their home and around them that drama cannot stay, that distrust cannot prevail. I am a worshiper first and a husband second, but Mandy wants me to be a worshiper first because she can't handle the professional husband. She wants a professional worshiper. She wants somebody that can touch the throne of God and that God can speak to, because let me tell you about worship. Worship is not just me talking to God about how awesome he is. Worship is a trade, and God begins to touch me and make me what I am not and what he wants me to be. Woman of God, you're a worshiper before you're a wife. Cannot do what God has called you to do as a woman of God unless you are a worshiper. I know I'm preaching the proverbial choir here at Living Way because we've got some amazing ladies that have led the charge for many decades here, and you are worshipers, and I'm so thankful to that. But can I talk to the under 30 ladies in this house today? We need you to be a worshiper. Your kids need to see you worship. Your family needs to hear you worship. Your kids need to be taken by the hand and brought to an altar during praise and worship. Why? Because when they see you worship and hear you worship, that's the mom we want them to remember, that when they're 18 years old, they're going to know, don't mess with my mama. She's a worshiper. Don't mess with my family. They're a worshiper. They know how to get the presence of God. You're a worshiper before an employee. You're a worshiper before a business owner. You're a worshiper before you're a son. You're a worshiper before you're a daughter. I'm here to tell you, young people, your life is going to shape up when you begin to worship. And when you begin to worship, you're going to get more of God. And you're going to see mom and dad are not the enemy. They're on the same team as me. I'm going to respect and honor them because God is using them to shape me, to get me where I need to be. So when I'm 18, I'm not a drain on society, but I'm an asset to society. I'm a worshiper before I'm a pastor. It burns me up when I go to these churches and these pastors just and then they get up and they preach like a house of fire and then chew everybody out when they don't get with them. You didn't get with God for the first 30 minutes of service. And now you want everybody to laud your ability to orate and to speak? Listen, I wouldn't go to a church that the pastor doesn't worship. I wouldn't go to a church that the pastor doesn't praise. I wouldn't, because if they're not doing it here, I promise you they ain't doing it there. And you need a pastor that when they say, I'm going to pray for you, you're going to say, I've watched them worship. He knows how to enter in. He knows how to get the presence of God to where he is. He knows how to get God to where he is and him get to where he is. We need to be worshipers first. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, I'm a worshiper first. Running out of time, I'm a worshiper first. When you identify as a worshiper of Jesus, all that phrase has been stolen. I identify as. Let me just clarify this. When you are born to be a worshiper. Whether you ever identify it as it or not, that's what God created you to be, so that is God's expectation of you. And so until you begin to worship him, he doesn't hear you. Go back and listen to Bishop's series on prayer. When you identify as a worshiper of Jesus, that is the only thing that matters. I love this. Don't call me by my storm. Just call me a worshiper. Don't call me by my current season. Just call me a worshiper. Don't call me by my sickness. Call me a worshiper. Don't call me about the season that I'm facing right now, my weaknesses. Call me a worshiper. Don't call me by my lack. Call me a worshiper. If you can worship long enough, I believe you'll be healed. If you can worship deep enough, I believe you'll have all of your needs met by the glory of God. Don't call me by my past, just call me a worshiper. I said this past Wednesday night that my best worship on Wednesday was not at 7:15 with this incredible team leading us, but rather it was earlier that day when God told me, turn off Dave Matthews Band. Any Dave Matthews Band fans? I'm the only one, okay. God told me to turn them off. He said, turn on some worship. I want to talk to you. What was God saying? I can't talk to you over that mess. I need you to start worshiping. Let me tell you something. If you will worship before you pray,
If you'll worship before you pray, it creates an atmosphere. What atmosphere does it create? Let me tell you something. It does nothing for God. It does everything for me. Because when I worship before I pray, I get in a better place. Peace floods. Joy comes in. My mind is focused. My faith is stronger. And guess what? God might say the same thing, but I hear it clear because I prepared through worship. When you worship, so before you come with your laundry list of needs, before you start talking to God, press play on your iPod, your CD player, and they've made a way, they're come back all the way. Your album, your record player, your 45, go ahead and play that for about 2 minutes and let the Spirit of God invade that room and then say, God, I'm so grateful that you have met me here. God, you are a good God all the time. You are from whom all blessings flow. And God, I went to the doctor today and I received this report, but I know you are a good God all the time. Your Bible says, your word says you're the great physician, and by your stripes I can be and are healed and were healed. And so God, right now I claim your healing in my body. I lay hands right now and I pray that from the top of my head to the soles of my feet that your healing power and healing virtue would flow through me, and next time I go to the doctor I will be a living testimony and I will see the difference that you've made in my life. Worship prepares. 7:15 Wednesday night was not my greatest worship that day. It's when God told me, turn it off, put on Hillsong, Young and Free, Sinking Deep. And man, I had myself the best worship service. That Shekinah glory settled in that truck, driving 70 miles an hour down Interstate 10, and I had myself a worship encounter and a worship experience. Can I encourage you, wherever you worship, God is going to show up. Wherever, can I encourage you, radical faith. Bishop preached extreme faith this morning. Next time you're at the doctor's office and you get a bad report, can I just encourage you to tell the doctor, hey, can you give me a couple minutes before we talk any further? Ooh, I'm getting goosebumps just preaching it. Can you give me a couple minutes before you come back in here? And when he leaves, turn on your phone, turn on some worship. But if you don't have worship, you just start singing the praises of God. Start worshiping who he is. God's going to invade that exam room. You're going to feel the presence of God. You're going to hear from God. Peace shows up. And when the doctor comes back in, straightens your wig, you've wiped the mascara off your face, and you say to the doctor, proceed. Worship. Worship changes. Going back to heaven, and I'm going to stop right here, Pastor Becky, if you'll get ready. I love this. Heaven, worship is eternal. It's what we do in heaven for eternity. Check this out. Worship is so important to the heavenly experience that God says, if you're going to come to heaven, you're going to be a worshiper. Because worship gets my presence. And that's what heaven's all about. I think, Sister Irene, when we get to heaven, we're going to ooh and awe over the golden streets for 3.6 seconds. And we're going to look down, and then we're going to see God, and we're going to forget about everything else. And we're going to begin to worship, and we're going to take our crowns and throw them at his feet. Why? Because God, this is why I'm here. I'm a worshiper. And God says, this is why I created heaven, was for worship. And I end with this. If worship is that important in heaven, I'm going to get to it next week. Lucifer was kicked out of heaven over worship. So if Lucifer was kicked out of heaven, if worship's so important there, how much more important is it here? We used to sing a song, it's been a little while, called Heaven on Earth. Heaven on Earth is when we worship. Because all of what heaven is comes to where we are. And there's somebody in this room standing on your feet. There's somebody in this room that you've prayed this prayer or you've had this thought.
If I could just feel what I feel in living way all day long, my life would be so much better. I've got good news for you. You can. You can. Because when you worship, God says you can't come to heaven yet, but I'll bring heaven to you. And when you worship, oh, here we go. When you worship, heaven shows up. No gnashing of teeth. No wars. No crying. What does that mean? That when I worship, I just feel Jesus. Well, eventually you're going to have to come out of that worship. No, I don't. I can take that worship wherever I am. This is where I am in my life, 39 years old. This is how I faced COVID. Forgive me, but this is how I faced COVID. I'm going to live my life. I'm going to be obedient, but I'm going to live my life. I'm going to worship. If I get COVID, I'm going to worship through it. If it kills me, I'm going to worship. I'll just worship there instead of here. I'll become the great cloud of witnesses, and I'll be a witness that worships. I want to open the altar right now for those of you that want to take your worship to another level and say, I'm wired for worship, but man, my eyes are opening right now.